Today we're going to talk about the present day ministry of Jesus Christ as we answer two questions. Where is Jesus now and what is he doing? Where is Jesus now and what is he doing? We're going to answer those two questions from the book of Hebrews. Every scripture today is coming from the book of Hebrews. So let's open our Bibles to
Hebrews.
In our previous message, What to Do When Life Gets Hard, we made this statement. When life gets hard, think about Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, his resurrection, and what he's doing for you now at the right hand of God. And then I asked this question, how many would like to know about the present day ministry of Jesus Christ and what he's doing for you now? And every hand went up. So that's why we're going into this series about the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. So let's answer our first question. Where is Jesus now? Are you in Hebrews chapter 1? Let's begin reading in verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. Verse 3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Now flip over to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8, verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Hebrews 10, verse 12, from the Amplified Translation. Whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins, that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Now Hebrews 12, verse 2, reading from the New International Version. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where is Jesus now? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Everybody have a bulletin? Here's your first fill-in. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. That's where Jesus is now. He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Jesus is alive, and the fact that he's sitting means he finished his substitutionary work. The work that God did through Christ and his substitutionary sacrifice for us is complete. The proof of the finished work of Christ is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This also proves that his sacrifice for us was acceptable to God. Hebrews 4, verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And then in verse 11 it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. We should be diligent to receive the benefits of the finished work of Christ. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do. Now it's up to us to receive everything he's provided. After Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he began another ministry, a present day ministry as our high priest, mediator, intercessor, surety, and advocate. Today we're going to talk about the ministry of Jesus, our high priest. We know where Jesus is. Now let's answer our next question. What is Jesus doing in his present day ministry at the right hand of God? First, he's functioning as our high priest. He's filling the office of high priest of the new covenant. The new covenant, again, being the new agreement between God and the human race. As your high priest, listen, as your high priest, Jesus is ready to confirm your rights and privileges as a child of God. You're still in Hebrews 4? Look at the first part of verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Ready for your next fill-in? Jesus is your great high priest. When life gets hard, think about how great Jesus is. When life gets hard, think about the success of Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus alive at the right hand of God on your behalf. And then it gets even better. Hebrews 10, verse 21 and 22, reading from the New Living Translation. And since we have a great high priest, say this after me, I have a great high priest. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And then in Hebrews 9, verse 24, it says, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Ready for your next fill-in? Jesus is in the presence of God for your benefit, and he is inviting you to come right in. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Come right in. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Come right in to the presence of God and visit the Father with me. Come right on into God's family. Come right on into God's presence. Come right in and experience God's power. I said, come right in and experience God's power. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He's alive at the right hand of the Father as your great high priest. Hallelujah. Amen. Because Jesus is our great high priest, God is personally available and we have access to him. Now let's flip back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 17, reading from the New Century Version. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way, so he could be their merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Then Jesus could die in their place to take away their sins. There are two things in this verse that qualify Jesus to be our great high priest. First, God in Christ became a living, breathing human being. That's the first thing that qualifies Jesus to be our great high priest. Second, Jesus died in our place as our substitute. That's the second thing that qualifies him to be our great high priest. Now notice the two adjectives that describe our high priest in this verse. He is our merciful and faithful high priest. He's our merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful means he cares about you. Jesus has active compassion for you. Look up that word mercy sometime in some of your Bible dictionaries, and here's the definition it gives. Active compassion. Mercy is active compassion. Say this, Jesus has active compassion
for me.
Amen. Faithful means he won't let you down. In other words, when life gets hard, your great high priest, Jesus Christ, is there for you. Now Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now let me read it from the New Living Translation. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Isn't it wonderful that someone understands us? This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Even though Jesus did not have a sin nature, he was tempted just as we are tempted. There's three primary temptations that we all deal with in this life, and they're found in 1 John 2 and verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three primary temptations that we face in this life. Satan tested Jesus in all three. He tested Jesus in his bodily passions, didn't he? In his bodily appetites. Matthew 4:2 and Luke 4:2 say Jesus was hungry. That's the lust of the flesh. Number two, Satan tested Jesus along the lines of his soul life appealing to the desire of his eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. Satan took him on a high mountain and showed him. He showed him. That's the lust of the eyes. Then what did Satan do? Then Satan tested the motive and attitude of his heart, appealing to his supposed pride and ambition. Jesus, come on up here and let me show you how to be a big shot. Throw yourself down off of this cliff. And it is written. How many know Satan can quote a little scripture too? It is written. He'll give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus came back and said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. And he came out of those three temptations that we all face at one or more times in our lives. Hello, or am I the only one? And he came out of all of them victorious. And that's why he's qualified to be our great high priest. The last phrase in Hebrews 4:15, yet he did not sin, means this: nothing in Jesus was receptive to Satan's advances. That's why he's our merciful and faithful high priest. He not only feels for us, but he can help us. How many know it's one thing to feel for somebody? It's another thing to help them. There's a difference. Now Hebrews 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Say this after me. Jesus is able to help me. Now reading Hebrews 2:18 from the New Living Translation. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Remember this. When you're going through that storm, when sense knowledge contradiction is at an all-time high, know that your great high priest, Jesus Christ, is ready, willing, and able to help you. That's part of the present-day ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus understands your struggles because he faced them as a human being. He not only understands them, but as your high priest, he's ready, willing, and able to help you. After all, Jesus went through every temptation you'll ever go through, but he never sinned. How many know temptation is not sin? Giving into the temptation is sin. Many people are living in condemnation because of the onslaught of temptation that is bombarding them. Temptation is not sin. Giving into the temptation is sin. The fact that Jesus never sinned qualifies him to be your great high priest. Ready for your next fill-in? Jesus understands what you are going through, and he is ready to help you. Jesus understands what you're going through, and he is ready to help you. Isn't that good news? Now let's take it one step further. Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12, reading from the New King James Version. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Let's talk about that last phrase. What does the phrase eternal redemption mean? Well, eternal means forever. Forever means past, present, and future. Eternal redemption means we're redeemed forever. You're redeemed forever, past, present, and future. Listen, from everything Satan is the author of and everything that Satan represents. Say this, I'm redeemed from everything Satan represents and everything he's the author of. Say this, I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How many got your I am sheet on your mirror? What's the second line? I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107:3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When temptation comes, got to be ready with the word. How Jesus deal with the temptation of the enemy? With the word, with the word, with the word. Redemption means Jesus took our spiritual death so that we could have spiritual life. also known as eternal life. Redemption includes both the forgiveness of sins and the removal of our sin nature. Are you in Hebrews 9 still? Let's read verse 26 and then verse 28. Hebrews 9, verse 26, reading from the New King James Version. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Christ not only bore the sins, plural, our deeds and acts of wrongdoing, he bore the sin, singular, our sin nature. It wouldn't do us any good for Jesus just to bear our sins, because we would still have the old sin nature of spiritual death, and we couldn't help but do wrong continually. We couldn't help but continue to do wrong. We would still have the same nature we had before. But when Jesus put sin away by the sacrifice of himself, he did something about the old sin nature that caused people to continue to sin. And he did it once and for all. What did Jesus do? He secured an eternal redemption. How? Last phrase in Hebrews 9, verse 12. You still in Hebrews 9? Look at the last phrase in verse 12. How did Jesus do all this? With his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. When the blood of Jesus was accepted by God, it was possible for God to remit, forgive, and wipe away the sins of every person who would place their faith in Christ and confess Jesus as their Lord. When a person does this, they receive eternal life, making them a new creation. Their old sin nature, spiritual death, has been replaced with a new nature, spiritual life, also known as eternal life. Now Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God as high priest to meet the needs of this new creation. The high priestly ministry of Jesus meets every need of the believer from the moment he or she is born again until he or she is ushered into the presence of God at the end of this life. As we close, let's look at what our response should be to Jesus, our great high priest. Hebrews 3, verse 1. How am I excited about all the scriptures in Hebrews concerning the present day ministry of Jesus Christ? Can I see your hands? What should our response be to Jesus, our great high priest? Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. First, consider Jesus. Think about Jesus, your great high priest. Instead of thinking about your problems, let me say that again. Instead of thinking about your problems, think about the success of Jesus. Jesus is the high priest of what? Our confession, the words we speak. When life gets hard, consider Jesus as your high priest, the one who brings your words before the Father so he can make them good in your life. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of the words we speak. Now we have a responsibility. We need to respond to the sacrifice Jesus made for us, and Hebrews 4:14 tells us how. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, in light of all that, what should our response be? Let us hold fast our confession. The way we respond to the high priest of our confession is by holding fast our confession, by saying the same thing that God's word says. The implication here is to never stop speaking God's word. The word seeing in Hebrews 4:14 means to consider and think about. Consider and think about what? Think about Jesus, the great high priest, passing through the heavens after his resurrection, and then taking his rightful seat at the right hand of God, and then see him, listen, and then see him presenting the sacrifice of your words to the Father? How many know sometimes it's a sacrifice to speak God's word in the face of sense, knowledge, contradiction? Can I see your hands? How many know the temptation, how many know one of the temptations of the enemy is to get you to continually talk about your problems? Instead of thinking about your problems, you go, oh, I'm not talking about my problems, I'm just thinking about them. Well, remember this, a thought takes place before a word is spoken. So you're guilty by default. Oh, I'm just thinking about it. Sorry. There are only two sacrifices the believer is asked to make. First, the sacrifice of holding fast our confession. Let me ask you again, how many know that sometimes it's a sacrifice to speak God's word in the face of sense, knowledge, contradiction? Second sacrifice we're asked to make is found in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Final scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 15. I'll give you a moment to turn there. I want you to see it. First, the sacrifice of holding fast our confession. Second, the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15, reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. How many know sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God in the face of sense, knowledge, contradiction? It's bad enough to have to speak God in the face of sense, knowledge, contradiction, but now you've got to praise him too. Not praise him for the problem, praise him that he's your great high priest seated at the right hand of the Father, making your words good in your life in order to remove that problem, in order to remove that mountain. Don't you think Jesus remembers what he said in Mark 11, 23? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it'll be done for him. Why is that? How do we go from what Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, how do we go from when you say something to the mountain being removed? What happens in the middle of all that? Jesus Christ, your high priest at the right hand of the Father, works it all out for you. Amen. He's your high priest. He paid the price so that you could be a new creation. Your sin nature has been removed. Your sins have been forgiven. Oh, what about the one that I committed yesterday? We're going to talk about that. We talk about Jesus, our advocate. He's your lawyer. He pleads your case before the Father. He goes to before the judge of the universe and says, oh, lay that to my account. I took that for that person 2,000 years ago. And we just go right on thanking God, rejoicing, yielding to the Holy Spirit. I said yielding to the Holy Spirit. Coming boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy, that's forgiveness. We know we missed it. We come boldly to find what? Mercy and grace. Mercy, you receive forgiveness. Grace is the ability not to stay in that sin. So how many know sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God in the face of sense, knowledge, contradiction? But as you praise him, see him confirming before the Father what he did in his substitutionary sacrifice, and then see your salvation benefits manifesting in your life. See yourself well. See yourself prosperous. See yourself living a life that pleases God. Amen. Hallelujah. Closing comments now. Jesus is your high priest. He's bringing the sacrifice of your words before the Father so he can make them good in your life. Jesus is your high priest. He's bringing the sacrifice of your praise before the Father so he can manifest in your life everything Jesus died to give you. Ready for your final fill-in? Confessing God's word daily and praising him continually are how you respond to Jesus, your high priest. Only two sacrifices the believer's asked to make. Hold fast to your confession and offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, giving thanks to his name. Confessing God's word daily and praising him continually are how you respond to Jesus, your great high priest. Confessing God's word daily and praising him continually are also how you diligently enter into the rest spoken of in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus, our mediator, intercessor, and surety. How many have a deeper appreciation for Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father? Just after what we've read today in the book of Hebrews, you got a deeper appreciation. Here's what we're going to do for our closing song. I want to stand to our feet. And as we sing this closing song, it's more worshipful in nature. Usually we sing an upbeat, bounce around, oh yeah, we're excited, blah, 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 blah. But today, a little bit more worshipful. As you sing this song, I want you to see Jesus Christ. See Him seated at the right hand of the Father on your behalf, working your situation out, solving your problems. Amen? Let's worship Him as we sing, and then I'll come and dismiss the service.